Welcome and thank you for tuning into Real Estate with Yahya Chordani, a podcast dedicated to simplifying real estate, whether you are a buyer, seller, investor, or someone just looking to learn more about real estate without the hype. Hello and welcome to Real Estate with Yahya Chordani, episode 6. Do you consider yourself a first-time home buyer? Did you buy or sell your last home more than 3 years ago? Are you wondering how you should start the process of buying a home? If your answer to any one of those questions was yes, then this podcast is definitely for you. In today's episode, we're going to be discussing what you should do as a first-time home buyer and what you need to know. I am so excited to talk about this with you, so let's get started. So let's start by talking about what qualifies you as a first-time home buyer. If you have not owned a home in the last 3 years, you will definitely qualify as a first-time home buyer. Even if you may have purchased homes in the past, which is more than 3 years ago, it still qualifies you. And if you are a single parent who has only owned with a former spouse, that still qualifies you as a first-time home buyer as well. And if you are a displaced homemaker who has only owned with a spouse, you still qualify as a first-time home buyer. And if you did own a property that was not in compliance with the state, local, or model building codes, and which cannot be brought into compliance for less than the cost of constructing a permanent structure, still qualifies you as a first-time home buyer. So now that you know you are a first-time home buyer, let's talk about the process. I broke it down into 10 easy steps. The first one being a pre-approval, the second, shoppings and showings, the third, preparing the offer, the fourth, counteroffer and negotiating terms, fifth, offer acceptance and contingencies, number six, loan application and underwriting, number seven, inspection process including negotiation of repairs, number eight, the appraisal process, number nine, the final walkthrough, and number 10, closing disclosures and costs. And here's why I would recommend getting pre-approved first. Even though it's perfectly all right to go ahead and look at some homes before you do this, getting pre-approved first will give you some structure as to what kind of financing you could receive based on your income, your current finances, and a couple of other factors. With that information, you will receive a pre-approval letter that will give you some details, and that will kind of give you an easy way to map out your search. Of course, using property type and all other factors that you may need in your property search, including the financing that you have. And you may not even need to use your full approval. You may just need a certain part of it, but at least that will give you an idea of what you can work with and shop accordingly, which will make it a lot easier for you to go through your needs and wants list and search for the right home more effectively. For those who have never bought a home and are curious about this process, I just wanted to talk about credit score on a side note, and this may help you build your credit if you are in the initial phases of buying a home or getting ready. So the first thing I would recommend is payment history, which is a very important factor when it comes to your FICO scores. Having a strong, consistent payment history will really help build your credit and increase your approval odds. Credit usage would be, I think, the next one, because keeping a low utilization of your credit, even though you have a higher limit, helps lenders determine your risk level. So if you are over 30% of your credit usage, I would highly recommend lowering it and keeping it between 10 to 30% based on my experience for the best results. Also, the age of your accounts is another factor. The older your accounts or your credit history, it's more comforting to the lenders when they're looking to approve you. A lot of inquiries, may they be soft or hard, will definitely impact your credit score, and it does not look good on your file. So I would try to limit inquiries, even if you're tempted to try out for a new credit card. If you don't need it, don't want it, please don't inquire about it. It will only hurt your credit to have your points reduced and show up in your file. And the last factor I would like to mention is the types of accounts. Of course, having different types of accounts will impact your credit differently. For example, having a $500 credit card would build your credit differently than a car payment or a mortgage. So it is very important to make sure you always protect your credit and take very good care of it no matter what, because it's like a scorecard that reflects your borrowing capability, and you always want to make sure this is in top tier shape. So now that you are pre-approved and it's time to shop and show, you can get together with an agent and discuss your plans about your home, or you could do this on your own. I would highly recommend getting an agent though, because it is great to work with a buyer's agent. They will save you a lot of time, provide you quality information, actively guiding you through the process to make sure you understand each part simplifying it as much as possible to make sure you have a great experience buying your first home. Once you have your personalized portal set up in the MLS through your agent, you could see all the properties that they have given you access to, making it a lot easier for you to do your home search. Also, you can request showings directly through the portal with your agent, making it so much easier for you to share information with them directly. So after being on a couple of showings and looking at some houses and finally picking a few or the one that you like, you can start preparing the offer with your agent. During this part of the process, the agent will present you some comparative market analyses to look at the property values and, of course, including current market conditions. That way you know what is the right way to prepare the offer. If you want to go higher or lower, or if you want to go in full price, with what types of terms included, the date of closing, and some other details. Depending on the kind of market you're in, the counteroffer and negotiating terms will differ. For example, if you are in a buyer's market, you may have to go through a few counteroffers or negotiating of terms. Rather, if you are in a seller's market, there may not be such a need, as property values we could see are currently very high, and due to low inventory levels, there is not a lot of counteroffers or negotiating going on. However, it is still important to have somebody in your corner who will still guide you through the process and let you know if a transaction is worth it or not. It may be an emotional transaction for you, so when the seller analyzes your terms and counters you, it gives you an idea to see if there is a way to negotiate better terms or if that offer is your final offer. So having somebody in your corner who will look at the transaction objectively will definitely help you a lot. This way you can decide if you want to move forward or if you'd like to pick another home. So now we move on to offer acceptance, contingencies, and deadlines. And once an offer is accepted, it does need to be submitted to the title company and the lender for further processing. And once the amount is agreed upon, there needs to be an escrow payment made to the title company. And the contract typically dictates the inspection period for us to schedule, with the inspector being of our choice. And if you are wondering, a home inspector is a cost to the buyer. Moving on to the loan application and underwriting process. This part is all about working with a lender to make sure you have all the necessary paperwork to complete the entire application process. As the lender works with the underwriter to work on your processing, they will also be sending out an appraiser to go ahead and get a property valuation done. Although on your loan estimate, you will see a lot of different costs, including insurance options, it is recommended that you do your own research to connect with your own providers, making sure you get the programs that are tailored to your exact needs when choosing an insurance provider. Moving on to the inspection process. Home inspections can take roughly between 2 to 4 hours, and I would recommend being present at the inspection so you can ask any questions that may arise in your mind. Although you will get a copy of the full property report, it is important to be there and look at the entire process to understand everything that's being examined and why, so you can make sure you are completing your due diligence before making any decisions regarding the purchase. Moving on to the appraisal process. Appraisers normally do a very detailed property analysis, which could take them between 5 to 12 days to complete and get over to the lender. And it is important to remember that nobody really speaks with the appraiser as they complete the process, nor the realtor, lender, or the client. And really, no one knows if the appraisal will come back in favor of the buyer or the seller. And if you are wondering, typically an appraisal is also a cost to the buyer. So moving forward to the next step, assuming everything is in good shape, your loan has been approved, the inspection report came back clean, there is no further need for negotiation, and the appraisal came back in favor of the buyer, and the seller is okay with that, and everything is going smoothly, we would now schedule a final walkthrough, which means you would schedule a visit in your new home, typically 24 to 36 hours before closing, just to make sure everything is the way it was agreed upon in the contract. And if there are any issues that need to be addressed, they can be brought up before closing so they can be handled efficiently. And I always recommend going back one more time on the day of closing or the night before, just to make sure things are exactly the way they are. I know it's a little OCD, but it will definitely help you have a peace of mind and ensure everything is going correctly. Bringing us to the last part of the home buying process. The closing, being the final part of the home buying process, can be quite overwhelming, and it can take anywhere from 30 minutes to a few hours, really depending on how soon everyone can get through their part. With a lot of complex documentations that need to be reviewed and signed, it's always good to make sure you are as relaxed as possible before starting this process. So before you reach the closing table, it is very important to make sure you have budgeted out correctly, to make sure you have enough reserve funds for the next couple of months to make your payments, and also to incur any ghost expenses that may occur. And a quick side note, cash to close and closing costs are not the exact same thing. Cash to close includes the total closing costs minus any fees that are rolled into the loan amount. It also includes your down payment and subtracts any earnest money deposit you may have made when your offer was accepted. Most title companies and closing companies have their preferred method of cash to close. However, you are able to make this payment by cashier's check, certified check, or a wire transfer, and even a personal check. This concludes our home buying process for the first-time homebuyer. Of course, if there are any areas of particular interest to you or where you would like to know more detail, you can always connect with me on my website for further details. Simply visit yahyachetani.com. My website will be linked in the show notes, and you can always connect with me there and ask me anything that comes to mind. Even suggest topics for further episodes. Thank you so much, everyone, for tuning into today's episode. Please don't forget to like, share, subscribe, and rate this podcast. And I look forward to seeing you on the next one. This is Yahya Chetani signing off.